Texas, America, and the world. This is Andrews coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tomislav Sunic will join us from Zagreb, Croatia today, hopefully, after 9 o'clock in the morning Central Time. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, including multiculturalism, both in its European context as well as its American. That will be Tomislav Sunic coming on from Zagreb, Croatia, hopefully a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. All kinds of things to talk about from the last couple of days and to review in regard to the presidential debates that were held on Fox News a couple of nights ago. Suffice it to say that there are a number of interesting things that surround not only Rudy Giuliani as it relates to his understanding of foreign policy, but also Mr. Giuliani as it relates to his personality and his conduct when he was a federal prosecutor, as well as his ties to these so-called NAFTA superhighways. We didn't get a chance to talk about this too much yesterday on the show, but Jerome Corsi for WorldNet Daily has an interesting piece on Giuliani that I wanted to cover this morning in regard to the latter's ties to these superhighways. Also wanted to discuss Mr. Corsi himself. You know, sometime I'd like to get him on this show to chat about some of his views related both to the North American Union as well as to foreign policy generally. I agree with everything, virtually everything I've ever read of this gentleman in regard to what he says about the North American Union and NAFTA and the whole business of the NAFTA superhighway. I am far more concerned about his foreign policy orientation when it comes to the Middle East and Iran. And I understand he's a very fine gentleman. I'd like to get him on the show and to chat with him about his perspective on these various issues. I was reading yesterday in an article on Jerome Corsi for Wikipedia that Howard Phillips, my old friend of the Constitution Party, the founder of that party, had asked Corsi to run for president on the Constitution Party line. And this is something that came up briefly yesterday in my conversation with Brian Malatesta of the Constitution Party of Texas, very fine gentleman who is the head of the state organization and chapter here. We were discussing the Constitution Party and how it perceives itself as a party, and some of the people whose names have been bandied about as candidates, presidential candidates for that party in this coming presidential election cycle year. Interestingly enough, there are names that come up like Jerome Corsi and Alan Keyes in the Constitution Party on the one hand, and then of course there are those in the Constitution Party who favor a foreign policy that is much more akin to that of Pat Buchanan or Ron Paul. I would suggest that based upon the folks that I've known in the Constitution Party, that the foreign policy of Pat Buchanan and Ron Paul is far more up the alley of most of them than the former foreign policy of Corsi and Keyes, which seems to have very strong neoconservative overtones. That suggests a division within the Constitution Party, which reflects the larger division on the American right that has become more obvious since the war in Iraq began. We're going to have to watch this in the days ahead to see exactly what the Constitution Party does, because, of course, if Ron Paul does reasonably well in the Republican primaries in the beginning, that's going to have both the paleo and libertarian vote pretty much following that line and following Congressman Paul in the opening months of the Republican presidential primaries. It will be fascinating to see how the Paul candidacy in the Republican Party affects the prospects of the Constitution Party in the fall of 2008. Again, that's another story to keep an eye on. But Jerome Corsi talks about Rudy Giuliani and his ties to the superhighways. Questions are being raised over Republican presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani's policy on terrorism after a report revealed he has strong ties to two investment consortia working to own or lease U.S. toll roads, including the Trans-Texas Corridor 35, which is identified as a part of the I-35 NAFTA superhighway. Isn't it fascinating the extent to which some of these guys that seem to have the globalist trade orientation as public officials, 9 times out of 10, end up having a direct or indirect economic tie to some facet of globalism? Of course, he goes on to tell us in this post from yesterday that although he opposed NAFTA in 1993, Giuliani recently declined a call for building a fence on the United States border with Mexico, and he has supported a guest worker program. Columnist Michelle Malkin has also documented that while mayor of New York City, Giuliani kept the municipality a sanctuary city for illegal aliens, adhering to a policy first established by Mayor Ed Koch in 1989. Now comes a new report about Giuliani's involvement with public-private partnership projects, some might say fascism, that includes NAFTA superhighway funding and his open borders record on immigration questions, all of which could undermine his otherwise tough policy on terrorism that has resulted from the 9/11 role that he played. We'll be back to take a closer look at this article. This is Mark Gantkos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio. And stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
This is Mark Gantkos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, Republic Broadcast Network. We hope to have a hookup with Tomislav Sunic of Zagreb, Croatia, shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. to talk about things cultural, as in multicultural, both the European context as well as the American, to try and get behind the deeper implications of that term multiculturalism. Let's keep an eye on that one later this morning with Tomislav Sunik at right around 9 o'clock Central. Getting back then to this whole business of Rudolph Giuliani, you know, we get into a conversation, don't we, about what happened a couple of nights ago in his exchange with Ron Paul. It seems to me that that divide that was revealed in that conversation, in that debate the other night, was certainly the most important point in the entire debate on Fox News, because it revealed fundamentally the division between those who believe in a republic and those who believe in the American empire. Giuliani is certainly a representative of the latter. And in his situation with his advocacy of American empire, Giuliani, I think, represents the worst in the impulses of that in the Republican Party. And I was a little bit concerned yesterday in talking with Brian Malatesta, the head of the Constitution Party of Texas, whom I believe to be a very fine gentleman, and I think heading up a very noble effort in terms of the Constitution Party, both in this state and nationally. But talking with Brian about some of these CP presidential candidates, it seems to me that we've got a situation here with the Constitution Party even has a division within its midst, however subtle it might be, between those who believe in an American first foreign policy and who truly are of nationalistic orientation of the Ron Paul, Pat Buchanan stripe, as opposed to those who have these impulses for empire and who would rather see the Constitution Party going for something like Jerome Corsi or Alan Keyes when it comes to the whole foreign policy orientation that apparently the latter two gentlemen have. This is a controversy, of course, and a struggle that becomes more apparent when we look at the Republican Party and this great divide between Giuliani and Ron Paul. But when we examine Rudolph Giuliani, you see all of the worst elements of this coming together. You see this whole connection between Giuliani's orientation for empire and his connection to globalist economic interests that are feathering his own cap. Certainly we have a very, very strong and very, very good idea as to where he stands in this Middle Eastern situation and as that relates to the Israeli lobby. And then Paul Craig Roberts has a piece on Rudolph Giuliani, which I also wanted to take a closer look at this morning, because it reveals something about the man methodologically and psychologically that I find to be very frightening. Paul Craig Roberts actually talks about the criminality of Rudolph Giuliani in terms of his prosecutorial conduct, where he was utilizing his office and some of his contacts in high places and neocon media to go after people who had done nothing wrong criminally, that Giuliani wanted to see behind bars simply to feather his own nest and to further advance his own political career. From a psychological perspective, is this the type of guy that we would want to be in the Oval Office? I think as we begin examining the Paul Craig Roberts piece in conjunction with Jerome Corsi's exposure of Giuliani's connections to NAFTA superhighways, a most disturbing picture evolves that, again, suggests that the great divide between two different types of American in regard to this business of Republican empire is perhaps the most telling division in the American political scene today, especially as it relates to the difference between globalists on the one hand, nationalists on the other. But Jerome Corsi goes on to tell us in his post yesterday, WorldNet Daily, that Giuliani's Houston-based law firm, Bracewell & Giuliani, is identified by the Texas Department of Transportation as the sole law firm representing Cintra. There's that company again, Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A, the Spanish investment consortium that has joined with Zachary Construction Company in San Antonio on the TTC project. WorldNet Daily previously reported that the Trans-Texas Corridor 35 is the new four-fields-wide car-truck-train pipeline corridor to be built parallel to existing I-35 is the Texas segment of the emerging Mexico to Canada I-35 NAFTA superhighway. Bracewell and Giuliani have also advised Cintra on the completion of the comprehensive development agreement negotiated with Texas to develop State Highway 121 into a toll road through Collin and Denton counties. The State Highway Department also gave Cintra a 50-year concession to operate SH-121 as a toll road, with Cintra agreeing to pay $2.1 billion up front
and annual lease payments totaling $700 million. In addition, Bracewell and Giuliani successfully negotiated a $1.3 billion deal with TxDOT for Sintra Zachary to build the remaining 40 miles of State Highway 130 as a toll road. WorldNet Daily has also reported that Giuliani Capital Advisors was acquired in March by Macquarie, an Australian investment consortium which has also been involved in leasing and operating U.S. toll roads. Further, the Federal Highway Administration has created a public-private partnership website on which both Sintra and Macquarie are featured as joint venture partners in the 2005 deal involving a $1.83 billion paid to the City of Chicago to operate the Chicago Skyway under a 99-year lease. The FHWA website also discloses the Sintra and Macquarie partnered in the $3.85 billion, 206 deal to operate the Indiana Toll Road on a 75-year lease. WorldNet Daily has previously reported that Euromoney Seminars, a UK-based company, is holding seminars to teach state and local governments in the U.S. how to lease a wide range of public assets, from highways to water departments to prisons and schools to international and foreign investment groups. Just this month, independent journalist Diane Grassi first broke the story of Giuliani's involvement with the NAFTA superhighway, writing that, quote, all negotiations for Sintra were or are presently handled by the law firm of Bracewell and Giuliani, LLP, of which Republican presidential candidate Rudolph Giuliani has been a senior executive partner since March of 2005. His law firm is the exclusive legal counsel for Sintra, unquote. The New York Sun also earlier reported that an October 2002 contract between Mexico City and Giuliani Partners, a Giuliani consulting firm, to reduce crime was a failure. Giuliani began the project in January of 2003 with a fanfare initial tour of Mexico City that included a motorcade of a dozen bulletproof SUVs, 400 officers, and a helicopter. Still, the Sun reported that Giuliani Partners ended up being paid less than the full $4.3 million contract price tag, despite some 20 trips to Mexico City booked by Giuliani Associates over a 10-month period. In December of 2004, Bernard Carrick, former New York City Police Commissioner, resigned as CEO of Giuliani Carrick, a law enforcement-oriented subsidiary of Giuliani Partners, amidst the various scandals that developed following Carrick's nomination by President Bush to head the Department of Homeland Security. I think if we were to go back into that Carrick story, we would discover after the fact that there are even more implications to that connection between Carrick and Giuliani, perhaps we presently know. But suffice it to say that Jerome Corsi has given us yet another indication not only of the agenda of globalism generally, but the agenda of globalism specifically as it relates to some of the biggest power players in the movement that we know of as presidential candidates. And Rudolph Giuliani quite clearly involved the Spanish and Australian interests that definitely are going to be profiting and are profiting off of American toll roads, both present and future. And the big picture here is of this so-called NAFTA superhighway that will cause Mexico and Canada and the United States to become a part of a so-called free trade zone where folks like Rudolph Giuliani will line their pockets even further in regard to this internationalist movement that we know as globalism. And when we speak about this whole business of public and private partnerships, it seems to me that this gets into the very clear and obvious issue of influence peddling and the very clear and obvious question of fascism. To what extent should we utilize that term when we are talking about an all-powerful central government that is involved with global companies and global economic and political concerns that where there's a mutual economic benefit that's being derived at the expense of the many? This comes about, of course, in a variety of different ways, but suffice it to say that some of the recent stories that have come out on the power and the role of multinational corporations in the American political process is something that needs to be emphasized as being of paramount importance when we talk about the way in which you and I are being squeezed economically and politically to support not simply the economic largesse of crooked politicians. We're also talking about a circumstance where these folks want to change the fundamental character of the United States as a nation state. They want the U.S. to become a part of a global movement that will de-emphasize and eventually jettison the American Constitution, and where the various institutions of the New World Order will control our lives. Central banking, international courts, international toll roads, free trade zones that involve the distribution of cheap foreign-made products in their own land, the decimation of the manufacturing sector of the American economy, the decimation of the American middle class. It's all there, folks. And when you look at Jerome Corsi's piece for WorldNet Daily on Rudy Giuliani today and his ties, direct ties, these NAFTA superhighways, and to the folks pushing it, it becomes abundantly clear what is wrong with this country right now, what is wrong with our political process, and how we stand at an essential crossroad in regard to the future of political and economic and cultural and constitutional freedom in our land. Is it too late? It might be, but we'll see. This is something we're going to have to watch in the days ahead. And just keep in mind, once again, what we've already talked about this show many times, the fundamental division between globalism and nationalism is of the essence in how we evaluate these various presidential candidates. Let's take a look at Jacob Hornberger's piece, Future Freedom Foundation. I've had Jacob on the show in the past, and he's got a very important conference coming up in Fairfax, Virginia, the first part of June, June 1 through June 4. If you're not familiar with that conference, take a look at triplef.org for some of the leading speakers in the country, and the sole issue of political freedom and the Constitution will be present there, left, right, and center, to talk about what's happening in this country, particularly as it relates to what's developing during the presidential election season. If you watched any of the Republican presidential debates on Fox a couple of nights ago, the exchange between Giuliani and Ron Paul probably is getting more play than anything else. And Jacob Hornberger has an excellent op-ed piece at the Future Freedom Foundation on foreign policy, specifically U.S. foreign policy toward Iraq. And Hornberger says, that Giuliani's attack on Ron Paul falls absolutely flat. Ron Paul suggested the other night what to me is abundantly obvious, and that is that there is a connection between U.S. foreign policy as it relates to globalism and as it relates to empire, as it relates to militarism, as it relates to the interference in the internal affairs of other countries that has caused blowback or has caused unintended derivative consequences that have adversely impacted this country, adversely impacted its people, and have caused us a tremendous number of headaches that in turn have resulted in a resort to even more militarism and interventionism abroad on the part of those who believe that the United States has a destiny or an obligation or a duty to rule the world or to attempt to influence the world and to rule the world. Giuliani was attacking Ron Paul for making those statements. Giuliani says that there's no connection whatsoever between the foreign policy of this country and what happened on September the 11th, 2001, whatever you believe about the truth of that day. But Giuliani, of course, takes the obvious establishment line as to what did happen that day. He says that it has nothing to do with any blowback that has occurred as a result of the foreign policy orientation of this country in the last 60 years. And he suggested Ron Paul was being highly irresponsible and irrational for suggesting such a thing. Jacob Hornberger for the Future Freedom Foundation asks us to consider 12 points, which underscore that, in fact, Ron Paul was speaking the truth the other day. And Dr. Hornberger asks rhetorically, how can anyone honestly believe that such actions, the 12 points that Dr. Hornberger lists here in his article, would not engender horrible anger and rage throughout the Middle East and indeed throughout the world? Now, this becomes important not simply in the great divide between globalism and nationalism, not simply in terms of the great divide between Mr. Giuliani and the Israeli lobby on the one hand and Ron Paul and the America First folks on the other, but it continues to illustrate this ongoing divide within the American right between those who have an America First foreign policy and who believe that the foreign policy of this country needs to follow constitutional guidelines and must emphasize individual freedom for our own people, and that this is inextricably linked to how we deal with foreign countries and how we deal with them on a trade basis, a political basis, a diplomatic basis, and a military basis. Ron Paul, I think, is firmly in the tradition of George Washington and what he was suggesting Monday night. Rudolph Giuliani is firmly in the tradition of the Dwight D. Eisenhower Republican Party, which is an internationalist, globalist party, and which wants to move us in the direction of world government, and is more than happy to do so, utilizing the American Armed Forces as a means of enforcing globalist tenets worldwide. Giuliani's attack on Ron Paul then fails to consider the following 12 points, and I would hold this forth to those in the Constitution Party and some of the other minor political parties who have a division within their midst over what America's role in the world is supposed to be. But Hornberger asks us to consider U.S. foreign policy toward Iraq. Number one, the U.S. support of Saddam Hussein. That's number one on Dr. Hornberger's list. You know what's interesting? The U.S. support of Saddam Hussein is something that has been conveniently forgotten by those who subsequently advocated his ouster, the utilization of American military force to get rid of him. How did this man come to power? How long a relationship had he had with the American intelligence community? Provably back to 1958, folks, when the CIA contracted with Saddam Hussein to assassinate the then Prime Minister of Iraq. Mr. Giuliani did not mention this the other night in the Fox News debates. Why didn't he mention it? I think that that's begging the obvious. Dr. Hornberger then goes on. Number two, the U.S. furnishing of weapons of mass destruction, furnishing of weapons of mass destruction to Saddam Hussein, and the correlative assistance provided by the United States in the use of such weaponry. Folks, by the time 2003 rolled around, Saddam Hussein no longer had any weapons of mass destruction because those, according to Scott Ritter, had largely been destroyed in the first Gulf War. But the U.S. furnishing of weapons initially to Saddam Hussein is yet another facet in this whole foreign policy debate that is conveniently forgotten by Rudolph Giuliani and the other advocates of world empire. To the extent that we say, gee, we've got to attack Saddam Hussein because he's got weapons of mass destruction, we don't not only discover that he did not have those weapons in March of 2003 and that the intelligence reports that he had them false, but to the extent that he ever had anything that could be construed by some at least as a weapon of mass destruction, he achieved them, he obtained them primarily from the United States. Isn't that an interesting Orwellian twist? We've got to attack the guy and get him out of power because he might have weapons of mass destruction. And to the extent that he might have them or has had them in the past, he has had them because we sold them to him and we gave them to him. And we've been his basic base of political support up to this point. This is kind of a fascinating concept, isn't it? Because when we start talking about the trial of Saddam Hussein and his conviction and subsequent execution for war crimes, we also have to get into the whole corollary axiom as to why it is that there has been no reference to the fact that during the commission of some of these alleged crimes, Saddam Hussein had the full political support of the United States and of a couple of different Republican presidential administrations. Rudolph Giuliani did not discuss that the other night. He might be trying to fool the American public, but he's not fooling those in the international community who, unlike many people in the American Republic, actually, in the American public, actually read these things, contemplate them, perceive them, and have very, very long historical memories. So Dr. Jacob Hornberger mentions that the U.S. was supporting Saddam Hussein, number one. Number two, the U.S. furnished weapons of mass destruction to Saddam Hussein and the correlative assistance provided by the U.S. and the use of such weaponry. Number three, then, the Persian Gulf intervention. Number four, the intentional destruction of Iraq's water and sewage facilities with full knowledge as to what effect such action would have on the long-term health of the Iraqi people. Number five, the more than 10 years of brutal sanctions which contributed to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children, sickness, and disease. The most responsible estimates of this, by the way, involve the deaths of over 500,000 Iraqi children, and that will be emphasized by Dr. Hornberger down in point number 7 in regard to Madeleine Albright's statement about the deaths of these kids. But suffice it to say that we're talking about the deaths of over 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of 5 as a result of these sanctions. Number 6, the deadly no-fly zones, which had not been authorized by the UN or the U.S. Congress, and whose enforcement entailed the firing of missiles and the dropping of bombs that killed even more Iraqis. Number 7, U.S. Ambassador to the UN Madeleine Albright's infamous statement to 60 Minutes that reverberated throughout the Middle East that the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children had been quote-unquote worth it. Number 8, the invasion and occupation of Iraq, which has killed and maimed hundreds of thousands of more Iraqis. Dr. Hornberger doesn't mention the figure here, but the British Lancet Medical Journal, which Chalmers Johnson and others have made reference to, chronicles the fact that, according to MIT and Johns Hopkins University, their researchers who contributed to this British Lancet Medical Report, 655,000 Iraqis have lost their lives in this conflict. Number 9, the torture and sex abuse of Iraqi men in Abu Ghraib and elsewhere in Iraq, photographs and videos of which are still being kept hidden by U.S. officials because of their potential blowback. Number 10, periodic rapes and murders that some U.S. troops have committed against the Iraqi people during the occupation. Number 11, the arbitrary and indiscriminate searches and seizures without warrants being conducted by U.S. troops. Number 12, the indefinite detentions without trial of some 20,000 Iraqi men and women in overcrowded prisons. Then Dr. Hornberger gets back to his rhetorical question. How can anyone honestly believe that such actions would not engender horrible anger and rage throughout the Middle East and indeed throughout the world? This is a very interesting analysis on his part, and I think is something that needs to be underscored time and time again in terms of this ongoing divide between globalism on the one hand, nationalism on the other, internationalism on the one hand, nationalism on the other. A foreign policy rooted in the interests of oil conglomerates and Israel and other multinational corporate entities on the one hand, and those of us who believe in individual liberty on the other. This is something that will not go away. It's an ongoing tension within two different camps in the American right, two different worldviews that cannot be synthesized. This is something that has to be seen in the days ahead as absolutely definitive for who and what it is that is ultimately going to rule the country, who and what it is that is going to hold sway in what people think of as the American right. And quite clearly, Ron Paul identified this the other evening when he made reference to Robert Taft. A great transition occurred in the Republican Party in the demise of Taft's opportunities to win the 1952 presidential nomination and the rise of Dwight D. Eisenhower subsequently. That was a watershed time in the history of the United States that is only now being recognized by a lot of folks. In that whole issue, the Republican Party, for all practical intents and purposes, really ceased to be a truly nationalistic party. The Republican Party began to embrace internationalism, globalism in a way that's only becoming more obviously apparent this half a century later. Ron Paul talked about Robert Taft in response to a sarcastic interrogatory posed by a questioner who suggested that Ron Paul was in the wrong political party. Ron Paul is not wrong political party in regard to what Republicanism used to stand for. And when we go back to Robert Taft, it becomes abundantly clear that the Republican Party has been hijacked by internationalist elements that have absolutely nothing in common with many of the deceived folks at the grassroots who continue to vote for the Republican agenda as it currently stands. And as we look at this whole exchange the other night between Ron Paul and Rudolph Giuliani, it becomes abundantly clear that this tension is something that is not going to go away. Ron Paul also mentioned the whole business about Iran and the whole issue of the 1953 intervention on the part of the CIA and the British MI6 to overthrow the Mossadegh regime in that country. The book that the American Free Press has that available to you, and this whole question of what happened in 1953 contains many of the original documents that go back to what the CIA and British MI6 were provably involved with in those days in regard to fundamentally attempting to alter the course of a nation, to throw a government, and to install people who would do our bidding in regard to what we thought that they should be doing in their country on our behalf. This is a fundamental issue and principle that, again, will not go away. If we go back and look at the whole course of American foreign policy, particularly since the end of the 19th century, this is a theme that constantly emerges, keeps coming back upon us in terms of blowback, the upcoming on, may be the ultimate cataclysm that brings us to the death knell of the old American Republic. This is Mark Gantoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We hope to have Tomislav Sunik on the show at right around 9 o'clock this morning, a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to talk, among other things, about multiculturalism, both its European context as well as the American context of what this is. Got to define what it is before we can explain it as a phenomenon. We'll try to define it and thrash it out. Deal with some of its implications when Tomislav Sunik joins us at hopefully shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Getting back just for a minute before we look at Paul Craig Roberts' analysis of Rudolph Giuliani, which I think gives us a psychological, a moral, a spiritual dimension to this man that is absolutely frightening. Let's go back for a minute to Monday night when Ron Paul and Rudolph Giuliani had their exchange. Giuliani is clearly, as Jerome Corsi points out in his article for WorldNet Daily, which talks about Rudy's connections to the NAFTA superhighway folks, Giuliani is a globalist. He's a corporate businessman. He loves this merger between big business and government, which many of us would define as fascism. But Giuliani, in his absolute belief in the American empire, is, of course, saying things that are absolutely predictable. And Fox News and everybody else is trying to position Rudolph Giuliani, of course, to receive the Republican presidential nomination because he epitomizes the globalist economic interest that drives national and international news media. I think all of that's very clear. Ron Paul, on the other hand, represents none of that. I believe Ron Paul to be basically an honest person who believes in the Constitution, who has a combination of both paleocon and libertarian views that I think are very attractive and basically very consistent philosophically. But in what Ron Paul was trying to say about foreign policy the other night, I think he's going to have to take some risks. Take some risks. What do I mean by that? You know, when we look at this whole emphasis today on a globalist foreign policy, and when we look at what has been driving that globalist foreign policy, I think there's an inextricable connection between our support for Israel in the Middle East and that whole globalist orientation. And I think this is provable. You don't have to go very far in the way of conspiracy theories to see this. The whole Project for a New America Century crowd, the connections of those folks
with leading neoconservatives in this country and with the Israeli government is abundantly clear. It's also abundantly clear that the Project for a New American Century program and ideological orientation is what now has us bogged down in this quagmire in the Middle East. Ron Paul did not mention Israel when he was discussing his whole nationalistic orientation and foreign policy. He did not mention Israel and our support of Israel when we were talking about political blowback Monday night. He did not mention Israel when speaking about this present situation that we find ourselves in the Middle East in regard to the monies involved and the troops involved and the never-ending character of this conflict and commitment. He's going to have to start talking about that. I'm absolutely convinced of that, and I know that that entails risks, a lot of risks, because when you start speaking about those things, you run in the American political scene and with American corporate interests that support the American political scene and with the news media that's all tied up and controlled in this, you run the risk the minute you start talking about this of being labeled as a kook, a bigot, an anti-Semite, a neo-Nazi, someone who is beyond the pale of acceptability in regard to the American political spectrum. Ask Paul Findlay about this. Ask Pete McCloskey about it. Ask Cynthia McKinney about it. I mean, these are all examples of how this sort of thing has happened in the past and will continue to happen again. But Ron Paul, it seems to me, is in a most unique situation to have an incredible impact on this Republican presidential nomination process. Do I think he has a chance to win? Frankly, no, I don't. I would be lying to the listeners if I told them that I thought there was a shred of a chance that Ron Paul was going to be the nominee of the Republican Party come the fall of 2008. But I do believe that Ron Paul is in a very unique place to bring ideas into the public arena to give them an exposure that they have not had up to this point. I mean, let's get real about this just for a minute. I think the work that we do at the Republic Broadcasting Network is very important. It's absolutely critical, given the fact that there is no credible alternative to us that is out there that is trying to combat the internationalist lies that are coming forth on a daily basis in the controlled electronic outlets in this country. The American Free Press is doing the same thing in terms of print journalism, trying to counteract what is going on with all of the globalist-oriented, globalist-controlled print outlets in this country. This is all provable. What Mike Piper talks about in the New Jerusalem in regard to the Meyer Graham Empire and the Newhouse Empire and, of course, News Corp, these are just a few of the obvious instances of the truth of what we're talking about here. But Ron Paul, because he is running as a Republican and is currently in the debates, is in a situation where he can bring some of the things that we talk about here at RBN, some of the things that Mark Glenn and Mike Piper write about for the American Free Press. Ron Paul can bring that into the arena because he is presently still enough a part of that arena that in the conversations that he will have with some of these media people, some of the conversations that he will have in these debates that will continue to be covered by establishment electronic outlets, he can talk about things that many folks have never heard of simply because the information has been kept from them. Ron's going to have to take some real risks in this, folks. He's going to have to get a lot more definitive in regard to some of the most serious case studies that prove the point he was trying to make generally with Giuliani the other night in regard to the difference between a globalist and a nationalist foreign policy. Talking about what happened in Iran in 1953 is certainly legitimate, but I think that in turn is symptomatic of the much deeper issue, both in the Middle East specifically as well as in American foreign policy generally, of the American and British support for all of the original presuppositions of the Balfour Declaration. And from the Balfour Declaration on forward, we have had nothing but tragedy in the Middle East generally and in Palestine specifically. It is that policy and the control that the Israeli lobby has had of both American foreign policy as well as the American domestic and cultural scene that is at the heart of this fundamental conflict that was being expressed in more general terms between Giuliani and Ron Paul on Monday night. Ron's going to have to start talking about this. He's going to have to start taking some risks. It's a very risky strategy, keeping in mind that he's the one running for president in a major major party venue. I'm not. And because he's doing that, if he starts talking about some of the things that we talk about here at RBN, he is going to receive a lot of vitriol, both in the state of Texas and around the country, at the hands of these corporate interests. It only stands to reason that this would be the case. But since he's decided to run, I think he needs to consider taking some of those risks. We need to talk about the income tax. We need to talk about the Federal Reserve Board. We need to talk about an internationalist, globalist foreign policy, not simply in terms of the generalities as to why these things are dangerous and wrong, not simply in terms of the generalities in terms of how they threaten us. We've got to talk about the specifics of who and what is behind these things and how we identify the enemy, fight the enemy. Ron Paul, it's up to you. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products. also made with Himalayan salt, I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SolayWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Podcast Network. We'll have Tomislav Sunic with us a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, coming from Croatia. Talk about some things related to multiculturalism and other issues that Tom is involved with on a research basis. That will be shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, hopefully Central Time. We've been discovering and discussing a series of news items in the first part of this show related to things global as opposed to things nationalistic, talking quite a bit about Rudolph Giuliani this morning. And after the top of this next hour, I'm going to get back into Paul Craig Roberts' very perceptive psychoanalysis of Rudolph Giuliani to show that this guy, meaning Giuliani, is not simply a globalist. He's not simply one who is directly tied politically and economically to these people. He's not simply one who advocates an empire rather than a republic. He is a very dangerous man, I am convinced personally, after reading what Paul Craig Roberts has had to say about him, where Roberts indicates that Mr. Giuliani has basically had a career of criminality in regard to a continued pattern of abusing his office as a federal prosecutor and utilizing his office in that regard to attempt to destroy the lives of people that would be considered to be a feather in his cap politically if he could nail, so to speak, and make himself look really great in the process in regard to having some of his pals at the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere help him out. Paul Craig Roberts gives us some of the specifics of that today that I think we need to take a look at so that we can warn our family members and friends that, hey, if you're going to vote for a corporate candidate, and we pray that you don't, but if you're contemplating voting for one of the establishment figures, this guy Giuliani might be among the more dangerous as we look at the context of my evaluation of this in light of the Roberts expose, which you can find at lourockwell.com. I'll be talking about it here shortly. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are, of course, for obvious reasons, on the front lines of what is involved in this globalist versus nationalist controversy and conflict. We're on the nationalist end of that, which means that in this day and age, we are the minority in regard to expressing that point of view in the news media. The only way that we can continue to fight the good fight for each and every one of you is if you help us. And the best way to help us is by sending a gift, whatever amount you can possibly afford to us at the Republic Broadcasting Network at www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can call us at the office at 1-800-724-2719 or send us something snail mail at 1015 South Maze, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, you can contact us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Give us a call at 1-800-724-2719 or send us your gift at 1015 South Maze, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can have Aaron Russo's DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, 1995, plus $4.95 shipping and handling, by using those same contact points, 1-800-724-2719, www.republicbroadcasting.org, or Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Maze, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Aaron Russo's DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, gets into a